going to be taking a look today at a whole different aspect of Parshat Re'eh. What I'm actually going to be doing is adapting a shiur that I give every year on Shmini Atzeret, about Shmini Atzeret during Sukkot on Shmini Atzeret Simchat Torah. It was hard for me to kind of reframe it to fit into this aspect of Parshat Re'eh, even though I wanted to give it here because it clearly is emanating from Re'eh, but I'm kind of like locked into the way that I'm used to giving it, so we'll try to have it really jump from the Psukim, but we will spend a large chunk of time talking about Shmini Atzeret and Simchat Torah because I think it really does pull a lot of the aspects of this Parashah together, and that's because of where the Parashah ends. If we take a look at the culmination of Parshat Re'eh, so all the way at the end, Parshat Re'eh is one of the three parashiyot in the Torah which discuss the mo'adim de'oraita, which go through the three mo'adim that exist for us on a de'oraita level, which are Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. And that's what we have here at the end of Parshat Re'eh in Perek Tet Zayin. Starting from Tetzayin Aleph, Shamor et Chodesh Ha'aviv Vasita Pesach LaHashem Elokecha, going through Pesach in that paragraph, to the next paragraph in Pasuk Tet, Shiv'a Shavot Tispor Lach Me'achel Chamesh Bakama, Tachel Ispor Shiv'a Shavot V'chulei. Sorry, Vasita Chag Shavot, it's Pasuk Yud, Vasita Chag Shavot. And then in the last paragraph, Pasuk Gimel Chag Sukkot Taselecha. So we're going through these Mo'adim, the three Mo'adim d'oraita, that's the culmination of Parshat Re'eh. And reaching back to what we discussed last time, where we looked at really what drew the whole Parashat together, some of our main underlying themes were emphasized in these psukim as well. This concept which comes up in every single one of these paragraphs, this El HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem, but also what keeps creeping up in these psukim is the concept of Simcha and V'samachta Lifnei Hashem Elokecha, as well as the underlying theme of the parsha from its very name, the concept of Re'iyah, which is the culminating psukim of the paragraph and of the parsha, Pasuk Tet Zayin. Shoshim b'shana yira'eh kol zichurachat p'nei Hashem Elokecha b'makom asher yivchar b'chag ha'matzot v'chulei v'lo yira'eh p'nei Hashem reikam. This concept of Re'iyah and ki berkat Hashem Elokecha shentlach, the bracha that we're bringing in, and all of this is reaching back to what we talked about last time, but I want to explore how this all comes together in the Mo'adim. This concept of going up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, these issues of Re'iyah, issues of Simcha, how is these paragraphs and this concept pulling together so many of the themes that we talked about last time, and how do we even understand them independently in and of themselves? Now again, one of the key words in that paragraph, and one of the key words that we pointed out last time comes up again and again throughout Parshat Re'eh, is not just to come before Hashem, but in what state of mind are we supposed to come before Hashem? B'simcha, right? We just said it, b'simcha, and it's in those psukim all over the place. There's this emphasis on simcha. Let me open for a second, intentionally. There's not a concept of simcha, which makes sense to us as we come now. It's interesting, it depends on when you're listening to the shiur. Now it's relevant to us because we're about to walk into Pesach in terms of the cycle of the year because we're learning a chumash shiur, not a parsha shiur. But if you're following the shiurim during the parsha, you're also coming up to, you're in the middle of the Mo'adim cycle and you're around a month away from Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. But either way, on the Mo'adim, where does the word Simcha come up in the Tefillah on the Mo'adim? Loud. Mo'adim l'Simcha. Mo'adim l'Simcha. We understand from the way that Chazal phrase in Tefillah, the Anshei Knesset Gedola codified in Tefillah, that the way that we refer to the Mo'adim is Mo'adim l'Simcha, but Simcha is an essential part of the Mo'adim process. Where would they have known that from? From these psukim. These psukim are what give it away. Again, take a look inside, and we're in the sources on sources 1 and 2, but if you take a look, we have all of our chumashim open in front of us. Take a look inside. Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'samachta lifnei Hashem Elokecha. Pasuk Yud Dalet. V'samachta b'chagecha. Pasuk Tedvav. All the way at the end of the pasuk. Vayita ach sameach. Three times in this conversation, the word simcha comes up again and again and again, to the point where the Anshei Knesset Gedola defined it as the samach mo'adim l'simcha. that simcha is essential to what the Mo'adim is about. But not only is it essential to what they're about, how do you even understand this Mo'adim l'simcha? Be a little bit more medayik on the Lashon. Mazem Mo'adim l'simcha?
For simcha.
For simcha, or refine it, to simcha, l'simcha. That somehow the process of the Mo'adim is inherently meant to lead us, to get us to a place of simcha. That perhaps is what the cycle of the Mo'adim Daraita is about. That the process of Pesach to Shavuot to Sukkot is somehow to get us to a place of simcha. We have to develop that. Now, of all of these three Mo'adim Daraita, they all in that same tefillah have a specific way in which they are referred. Pesach is known as Zman. It's like a week. Zman Chirutenu, which means a time of our freedom. Freedom being a lackluster word for what Chirut is really about. But Beseder, Zman Chirutenu. Shavuot is, right on the head, Zman Matan Toratenu, the time we get the Torah. And then we have Sukkot, which is Zman Simchatenu, which makes sense in the sense that we just said that all of Mo'adim is Simcha, but on the other hand, that's very odd. The essence of what Pesach is about is Chirut. The essence of what Shavuot is about is Matan Torah. There were so many options for Sukkot. Zman Sukkatenu. Zman Lulav Etrogenu. Whatever you want to call it. But it's not like there was a lack of things for Chazal for the Anshei Chazal to latch onto in defining in Tefillah the essence of the Moed of Sukkot. So a primitive way of looking at it would be say, okay, fine. They weren't sure what to call it, so they just, you know, threw in Zman Simchatenu. It seemed like a good enough name. But a person who looks at Judaism deeply understands that if the Anshei Knesset Gedolah referred to it as Zman Simchatenu, it means that just as essential as Chirut, or quote-unquote freedom, is to Pesach, and just as essential as Matan Torah is to Shavuot, somehow, even though all of the Mo'adim are Lissimcha, there's something about Sukkot which is essentially Simcha, more so than any of the Mo'adim. At the heart of Sukkot, you will find Simcha. How did the Anshei Knesset Gedolah know this? Where did they get this from? Also from our Pesukim. Also from our Parsha, which is why this is a Parsha Re'eh discussion in my mind. Let's take a look at those Pesukim again. Instead of me just randomly quoting the word Simcha in those Pesukim, let's actually watch the progression. Again, back to the end of Parshat Re'eh, same paragraph. Perek Tetzayin. The first paragraph deals with Pesach. Shamor et Chag Ha'aviv, Tetzayin Aleph. Shamor et Chag Ha'aviv, Asita Pesach LaHashem Elokecha. We're not going to read through all of the first eight psukim, but I guarantee you that if you read through all eight of those psukim, you will not see the word simcha even once. Doesn't appear at all. Starting the next paragraph, Pasuk Tet, which is the beginning of source number 2 on your sheets. Shiva Shavuot Tispor Lach Meachel Chermesh Bakama Tachel Ispor Shiva Shavuot Vasita Chag Shavuot LaShem Elokecha Misat Nidvat Yadcha Asher Titein Kasher Yivrecha HaShem Elokecha V'samachta Lifnei HaShem Elokecha Atah Ovincha Ovitecha Vavdecha Vamatecha Valevi Asher Bisharecha V'ager V'yatom Amana V'chule. What do we have now here for the first time? Simcha. Now Simcha finally appears in the context of Shavuot. Next paragraph, Sukkot. Pasuk Yigimel, Chag Sukkot Taaseh Lecha Shivat Yamim Be'ospecha Migarnecha U'Miyigvecha V'Samachta B'Chagecha. What do we have? Simcha. How many times? Once. Keep reading. Ata Uvincha Uvitecha V'Evdecha V'Amatecha V'Alevi V'Ager V'Yatom V'Almana Asher B'Sharecha Shivat Yamim Tachog LaHashem Elokecha V'Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem Ki Yivarechecha Hashem Elokecha B'Chol Tvuatcha V'Chol Maaseh Yadecha V'Hayita Ach Sameach. That's the origin of that song, by the way. That song is a splice between two psukim from this paragraph. V'samachta bechagecha v'hayita ach sameach is the beginning of one pasuk and the end of two psukim later. But both of them in reference to Sukkot. Now what happened here when we went from Pesach to Shavuot to Sukkot? What happened in terms of the essence of the simcha there?
Zero to one.
0 to 1, 2. So qualitatively, quantitatively. Quantitatively, we are increasing. We're going from 0 by Pesach, 1 mentioned by Shavuot, 2 mentions by Sukkot, which would have been important enough in and of itself. But with a sensitive ear, you can hear even more than that. Not only is it quantitatively greater, but it's qualitatively greater. We go to being mesameach, to being, what's the end of that song? Vayita, ach sameach, only besimcha. On Sukkot, your whole reality, your whole essence, your whole being is supposed to be a being entirely comprised of simcha. So in the Anshei Knesset HaGadola, understood two things. That the Moadim are l'simcha. From this paragraph, it's very clear, these paragraphs are very clear, that all of the Moadim, the whole goal of the Moadim, as we go from Pesach to Shavuot to Sukkot, is meant to create a reality of simcha. But where does that simcha finally emerge? At the end of that process. That's its l'simcha, that's the ultimate goal. And where do the Moadim themselves culminate? In Sukkot. And therefore, Sukkot becomes Zman Simchatenu. Because the Moadim are building up towards the end, building up to Simcha, and then come to their culmination point in Sukkot, and Sukkot embodies quantitatively, qualitatively in their goal, it becomes Zman Simchatenu. That's reflected in a lot of the other names. First, let's switch gears. Sukkot, or the Moadim Doraita, the entire cycle of the Moadim Doraita, go over the course of the Jewish year, and every single Jewish year, in and of itself, is a microcosm for history as a whole. If we take a look at the progression of the Moadim, that becomes clear. Pesach is relating to the Me'ayin Bata. Where did you come from? On Pesach, we're literally born as a nation. That's our origin point. That's the beginning of the history of the Jewish people. Shavuot, what happens on Shavuot? We see the Torah. And the Torah defines for us how we are meant to travel throughout the entirety of history as the Jewish people. That is our present. If Pesach is the past and Shavuot is the present, by default, what does that make Sukkot? The future. Sukkot is focused on the La'ana Taholech, is focused on the ultimate goal of where we're supposed to end up. And there are many, many hints to this in the context of Sukkot. We can't go through all of that, but a few begin to think about a little bit. The fact that on Sukkot, we basically build for ourselves a sukkah. And what is the sukkah? The sukkah is an opportunity to move into a reality, into a bubble in space, not just in time, but a bubble in space, which is entirely and purely kiddusha. We're living within a realm of kiddusha on Sukkot. We walk into that sukkah. It's a little bit of a taste of Olam Haba, of what it means to live in a reality of kiddusha. If one pays attention, and Yashar Kochachen, if you pay attention, if one pays attention to the Haftarot on Simchat Torah and Shmini Atzeret, and before that on Sukkot, so many of them revolve around the wars at the end of days and the war between Gog and Magog. There's all of this underlying theme of end of days lurking beneath the surface of Sukkot. Because what it's about is, it's somehow a reality, a little bit of a taste of what the world to come is going to be. That concept, as we were a few minutes ago, that's reflected, these concepts are reflected in the many names that Sukkot has. What are the different names for Sukkot other than Sukkot? Excellent. Chag Ha'asif. What else? Marguerite says Chag. When Chazal referred to Chag and don't define what the Chag is, it always is a reference to Sukkot. Coming back to who said Chag Asif? Eliora. So if you take a look in source number 3, Perek Lamedala Pasuk Chavbet, in the underline, it's referred to as Chag HaSif, and after that?
Tikufat HaShana.
All different names for Sukkot. And source number four is just one example. If you take a look at the bottom underline, it talks about, the top underline is Pesach, then it talks about Atzeret, which is Shavuot, and then in the last one it talks about Uvechag Nidonin Al Hamayin. So it just uses Chag. What is Chag there clearly a reference to if you just went through Pesach and Shavuot? That's one example of Sukkot, and that's why there's a lot of Inyanim relating around water in Sukkot. We have the Simchat Beit HaShoeva, we have the Nisuch Hamayim. There's a lot dealing with water there, but Bechag, you know, we're judged on the Chag about water. That's a reference to Sukkot, because Sukkot is called Chag. But coming back to Eliora's, the first one is right on the board, Chag HaSif. What Mazel Le'asof? To gather in, to take everything in, meaning after you've gone through the entire process of the year, you've planted, you've reaped, you've sowed, and now it's time to gather everything in towards the end of that process of life outside. It's the time of the ingathering. Even that word has a very strong connotation in Chumash. Where is le'esof used? Vayeasef el amav, mazen in Chumash. Vayeasef el amav, not just Moshe, but a lot of people. Say louder. When a person dies, the way the Chumash refers to it, vayeasef amav, they're brought back into their people. Again, implying that Sukkot is somehow relating to the end of days, the end of that process. What sefer do we read on Sukkot? Sefer Kohelet, the old man looking back at a long life and judging the meaninglessness of the physicality of this world and looking into a reality of what's really the neshama is going to enjoy in the world to come. All of it's focused on going forward. Chag. Mazel lachug chuga. What is a chag? Mazel lachug chuga. Everybody's very tentative today. To draw a circle. Because Sukkot is coming full circle in the process of the Moadim. It's completing the circle of the Moadim. Same thing like Tikufat HaShana, that end point of the year where the year is coming back around and beginning its circle once again. The end of the process is Sukkot. Because the end, because Sukkot is embodying the end of history itself. And what that implies is if we're overlaying the whole process of the Moadim d'Oraita on top of the whole process of history as a whole, that means, it indicates, it must be so, that just like the entire process of the Moadim are geared towards creating a reality of Simcha, so too is all of history, the entirety of human history, is geared toward creating a reality of Simcha. The ultimate endpoint, the ultimate destination of history is to get to a place of Simcha. One incredible and somewhat frightening expression of this is from our Sefer Devarim, which we'll see how much time we have left. We're running out of time. It's silly. We're only halfway through this. We're not even halfway through the Sefer, but we're running out of time nonetheless. We'll see how much time we have to spend on this. And we get up to the Parshat Ki Tavo. In the Tochacha in Parshat Ki Tavo, the Tochacha talks about all of the negative things that will happen if we sin. If we break our covenant with God, it's one of the two tochachas in the Torah. One of them is at the end of Sefer Vayikra, Parshat Bechukotai. And the other one is towards the end of Sefer Devarim, Parshat Kitavo. And that almost definitely we'll be talking about later on in Sefer Devarim. We get to Parshiot Kitavo and Nitzavim. In the context of the tochacha on Parshat Kitavo, it actually wildly gives the reasoning for the tochacha. And it's dead center in the middle of the Tochacha, that it gives its own reasoning. And the reasoning is very surprising. Take a look at source number 5. Perek Chavchet, Pasuk Memhei. Uvau alecha kol haklot ha'ila urdafucha visigucha adi shamdach ki lo shamata bekol Hashem elokecha lishmor misutav v'kotav asher tzivach. That I would have expected, that God is saying the kolah will come upon us if we don't follow all of His mitzvot. But then it goes further. Will be a sign for you and for your children for all generations. Why? Tachat asher lo avarata tashem elokecha b'simcha uvetuv levav mirov kol. That the reason for the tochacha, The reason for the klalot, the reason for curse in this world, the reason why the train of history gets derailed from arriving at its ultimate destination within a reality of bracha like we talked about last week's shir on Wednesday. What knocks that train off of the tracks? What derails the automatic and assumed bracha of the world? What brings me to a place of kala, which is not where the world is supposed to go? If through that whole process you stopped being b'simcha, you lost that re'eh, our parsha, that perspective of simcha, that knocks history off its course and that brings about a reality of kala. Because you're no longer headed towards your ultimate destination. So again, all of the Mo'adim are the Simcha, history is towards Simcha, there's this concept of Zman Simchateinu is integral to what Sukkot is about. And therefore, again, the whole journey of the Mo'adim and the whole journey of history is about. Let's take this concept of Simcha and let's put it on the shelf for a moment. And we'll come back to it. Let's put it on the shelf for a moment. Because there's a whole other aspect of Sukkot that we need to explore in order to bring everything together. Sukkot, in and of itself, has an end point. What is the end point of Sukkot? Shmini Atzeret Simcha Torah. That seems to be the obvious answer. That Shmini Atzeret is the end of Sukkot. But it's not 100% clear that that's the case. There's in fact a machloket in the Gemara itself as to whether or not Shmini Atzeret is truly the end of Sukkot. And we see that struggle within the name of Shmini Atzeret itself. The first word is Shmini. What does Shmini mean? Eighth. Which implies what? That there are seven that came before. It is, as Margalit said, the end of a process of which it is the eighth part of that eight-part process. It's Shmini. Avamaz de Atzeret. Atzeret implies that it's its own chag. Atzeret implies that it's its own holiday. And you see that tension in the Gemara itself. Source number 6. And watch the way the Gemara phrases it. You can feel the tension in the Gemara. Shmini regel bifnei atzmohu. I think it's phrasing it that way intentionally to point out that tension. That this eighth day, which yes, it clearly is the eighth day, is also its own holiday. So on the one hand, Margalit is writing Shmini Atzeret. But let's, next to our Inyan of Simcha over here, let's make another space on that shelf. And let's take Shmini Atzeret and put it on the shelf next to Simcha for a moment. And if we take Shmini Atzeret out of the picture, if it is a regel bifnei atzmo, then what becomes the end of Sukkot? Hoshana Rabbah. That has to be the end of Sukkot. And let's look at Sukkot from that lens for a moment. That the end of the process of Sukkot is Hoshana Rabbah. I'm not sure. You can take it. Not take it, really. Just like, I don't want to bother with it. You're just shot, come on. Man the phones. Let's look at it from the perspective of Hoshana Rabbah. When we look at it from the sense of Hoshana Rabbah, it makes a lot of sense. What's at the root of the word Hoshana? What's the concept inside of that? Yeshua. The concept of Yeshua permeates all of Sukkot and is something which we didn't really engage at that time of the year until Sukkot. Forget about the Mo'adim themselves. Let's narrow focus a little bit. Starting from the destruction in Tisha B'Av and then the attempt towards reconciliation over Elul. Through Rosh Hashanah, the Aseret Yimei Tshuva, and Yom Kippur, do we talk about Yeshua? Is there any emphasis on Yeshua? We mention in davening, Samchinu Bishuatecha. Sure, but there's no real emphasis on Yeshua and davening other than that. Then comes Sukkot, and suddenly everything is about Yeshua. It's not just Hoshana Rabbah. What do we have every single day? We have Hoshanot, where every single day the men take out the lulav and the etrog, and they start walking around the bima and singing, Hoshana l'mancha Elokeinu, Hoshana. We're screaming out about Yeshua once, twice, three, four times, just the introduction, and then there's a different one every single day. During Hallel, at Ana Hashem Oshiana, we shake the lulav and etrog at Ana Hashem Oshiana, not at Ana Hashem Aslichana, specifically at Ana Hashem Oshiana. There's suddenly this deep emphasis, even though we had Hallel the entire time before. There's this deep emphasis on Yeshua. Ana Hashem Oshiana, Hoshana l'mancha Elokeinu. And we're building and building and building within this new concept, this new layer. It didn't come out on Rosh Hashanah, not during the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, not on Yom Kippur. Only now on Sukkot somehow this new reality of Yeshua comes out. And it builds and it builds and it builds over Sukkot until it explodes on... Don't write for a second. Back to your answer. Comes back. When does it explode? On Hoshana Rabbah. That's the name of the holiday. It's Hoshana Rabbah, the great Hoshana. Perhaps the greatest miracle of the day is that many shuls attempt to get hundreds of men to coordinate walking in seven circles successfully around the bima. Not a simple thing. Some of them have lanes, some of them have rules. It's not a simple thing to accomplish. That suddenly, that morning, we have to travel seven times around the bima, screaming Hoshana, saying all kinds of deep and beautiful Kabbalistic prayers. Somehow itself culminating, and it's not our topic right now, taking Aravos and beating the Aravos on the ground. But this is clearly the expression, this explosion of Hoshana that brings the Sukkot process to an end in Hoshana Rabbah, before we even get to Shmini Atzeret and Simchat Torah. Now, you said that it's Man Simchatenu, that the issue here is Simcha. And now we're saying that the process of Sukkot is all about Yeshua. So I have a question for you. Which is it? Which is Sukkot about? Is it about Simcha, or is it about Yeshua? If any of you have been here for more than a semester, you know what the answer is going to be. Both. Both. And the Anshei Knesset HaGadol didn't miss that either. You all missed it, but the Anshei Knesset HaGadol didn't miss it because we just quoted something from Tefillah on the Mo'adim which emphasizes that point. Louder. That's the way you phrase it. Samcheinu b'Yeshuatecha. That's the formulation of the Tefillah itself. Tefillah, the reality of Simcha is expressed through Yeshua. The only way, evidently, we can experience true Simcha, we talked about Simcha at the beginning, we talked about how do you achieve Simcha. The way it seems that we're supposed to achieve true Simcha is through Yeshua, and wouldn't you know it? Sukkot is about Simcha and Yeshua. It's about the two coming together. It's Zman Simchatenu on Hoshana Rabbah. So what do we need to define? Maza Yeshua. What is this Yeshua that we're asking for? That we're crying out for? That is the content of our Simcha. That's the content of everything that we evidently are trying to achieve in the entire Mo'adim Doraita process, starting next week from Pesach and taking us through the rest of certainly this half of the year, all the way till Sukkot. That's supposed to take us all the way throughout human history. Simcha is what we're meant to achieve, but somehow the Simcha, the content of that is Yeshua. What is this Yeshua? So to do that, we're going to go back to the first time the root, the core root of Yeshua appears in Chumash. And that appears in Sefer Bereshit in the context of the story of Cain and Hevel. Take a look at source number 7. Ba'adam yada'at chava ishto. Batar vatilet et Kain, batomer kiniti yisod Hashem. Adam and Chav have a child named Kain, And then they have another child, Pasuk Bet, Vatosev Eledet et Achi Vatavel. They then have Havel, Vayhi Hevel, Ro'et Son. Hevel is a shepherd. The Kain Haya Uved Adama. And Kain is a farmer. Then suddenly Cain comes forth and he brings from the fruit of the ground a mincha to Hashem. He gives a korban. And Hevel also himself, he also wants to bring a korban. And without getting into it now, why God chooses one over the other, Vayisha Hashem el Hevel ve'el minchato. Ve'el Kain ve'el minchato lo sha'a. Vayosha, God was Yosha to Hevel and his mincha, but not to Kain and his mincha. Maze vayosha. What is this first appearance of this root, core root of Yeshua? So Rashi on the spot defines it. Vayosha, vayifen. To turn. Ve'chein lo sha'a el minchato lo pana. That the issue here is one of pnia, of turning. What's at the root of the word pnia? Panim, face. Why is face, why is the word for face the same as the word to turn? Right, when you turn, you're actually turning to face someone. This process of turning and looking at someone face to face. That's what Yeshua is about. Yeshua is the actualization of achieving a reality of face to face. How so? So let's give a mashal. You have a couple that gets into a fight. A couple gets into an argument. And it's a bitter argument and they're fighting. And they finally walk away. And it takes some time. Could take a day, could take a week, could take longer. But eventually, the husband realizes he's wrong. It takes time. And at that point, when the husband realizes that he made a mistake and he was wrong, so he comes forward, recognizing his mistake, recognizing the greatness of his wife, and then he goes and he asks for forgiveness. And he begs her, please, please, I didn't understand. I can't believe I said what I said. I can't believe that I was totally wrong. Please forgive me. And in a good, healthy marriage, she grants him forgiveness. But that's not the end of the story. That's not where it stops. Because the stage after the request for forgiveness, and even if the forgiveness is granted, while there's now been a commitment to working that through, the next stage is when the husband turns to his wife and says, okay, but now please turn to me. Show me your face. We need to be able to look at each other, to gaze into each other's eyes with the same love that we did before. That's the end of that process. It doesn't end with the apology. It ends when the two finally are able to come back together and gaze at each other again, can look each other in the face again, lovingly as they once did before. This parsha, Parshat Re'eh, normally falls out, meaning if we were in the regular cycle of the year, falls out in Elul. And that's the process that's going on in that time of the year. The moment where the relationship falls apart between God and Klal Yisrael is Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, everything falls apart. And it takes a while for us as Klal Yisrael to understand the destruction that we caused. And we work through Elul to try to bring ourselves back to a place to understand what we did. And understand to whom we did it. And so we come to Rosh Hashanah and recognize the Malchus of Hashem, the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How could we have sinned? How could we have gone against the King of all kings, Melech Malchei HaMelachim, the ruler of the world? How could we gone against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And with that recognition in mind, we go through an intensive process of the Aseret Yemei Teshuva. And we come to Yom Kippur. And what do we ask for on Yom Kippur? We ask for forgiveness. And we're granted Slicha and Mechila on Yom Kippur. And for many of us, especially once we're through that much of the Elul Tishrei cycle, we start to get a little bit of fatigue. There's no time to really gather something. Well, what is Sukkot about? And this is what Sukkot is about. Sukkot is the end of that process. It's not done yet. Yes, we've achieved Slicha and Mechila. Yes, we all grabbed hands and we sang and danced at the end of Yom Kippur. L'shana Abba B'Shalayim Abinuyah. We yelled out Shema Yisrael, Hashem HaKadoshakad, Hashem Elohim. It's all true. But all we've been given now is Slicha and Mechila. We've been given that recognition. But now there's one last stage of the process, which is Sukkot. Sukkot, which is a 7-day process, where we're begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu, show me your face. Grant me Yeshua, we're not done yet. Let me see your face like I hope to see your face in Olam HaMet and Olam HaBa. The end of the process of the Moadim, the end of the cycle of Tshuva, the end of history, I want to see your face. That's what we're begging for, that's what we're working towards over the entirety of Sukkot until we get to Hoshana Rabbah. And this is unbelievably reflected in the only minhag that takes us all the way from the beginning of the process in Elul and all the way to the end of the process at Hoshana Rabbah. What's the one minhag that takes us from beginning to end? There's only one. The Mizmor of LeDavid every single day. And with these lenses on, see this Mizmor. Source number 9. LeDavid Hashem Ori V'Yishi Mimi Ira Hashem Ayos Chayai. Masuk Dalet. Achat Sha'alti Me'et Hashem Ota Avakesh. There's only one thing I'm asking from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shifti Beveit Hashem Kol Yemei Chayai. Let me sit in your house every single day. What house do we end up sitting in? The Sukkah? Sukkah is trying to happen. It's explicit in the next pasuk. We're asking the Kadosh Baruch Hu, bring us back to a close relationship. Let me sit in your sukkah. Let me live in your house and be visiting you all the time. But then comes the heart and soul of this mizmor. This mizmor that's cried out by David HaMelech, who the Gemara and Avodah Zarah identifies as the greatest Baal Tshuva of all times. David HaMelech, who made a mistake and spent his whole life teaching us what it means to do tshuva and come back to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to long for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He begs here in Pasuk Chet, Lecha amar lipi bakshu fanai, et panecha Hashem avakesh. What are we saying every single day from Elul all the way to Hoshana Rabbah? Et panecha Hashem avakesh, Hashem, I'm looking for your panim. And then the opposite of that in the next pasuk, Lo ta'al tasir panecha yimeni. Don't hide your face from me. Begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu, show me your face. Last pasuk, pasuk gimel. Two pasukim from the end. Pasuk gimel. Lulei ha'amanti l'ra'ot betuv Hashem be'eretz chayim. If only I'm able to see your oats, the goodness of Hashem, but Eretz Chaim. What's Eretz Chaim? Could be Eretz Yisrael. We talked about it before. It could also be Olam Haba, right? And that duality of even Sefer Shemot itself, Sefer Devarim itself, getting to that end point of the end of history of either going into Eretz Yisrael, going into Olam Haba, or sort of both. But to see Lulei ha'amanti l'ra'ot betuv Hashem Eretz Chaim, and painfully the Mizmor ends. Not with a definitive conclusion. This mizmor ends on a question mark. Kaveh al Hashem, chazak v'ameitz libecha, v'kaveh al Hashem. Mazel kavot, kivoy, to hope. I have hope that I'll be able to get close to Hashem. Keep hoping that I'll get close to Hashem. I'm begging God to see His face. But that doesn't actually actualize in this mizmor that we say day in and day out over Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Yemei Teshuva, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. It doesn't actualize. We're still looking for that Yeshua. Then we get to Hoshana Rabbah. And on Hoshana Rabbah, the great Hoshana, we come to a very, very auspicious day, a very overlooked day. If we had fatigue before Sukkot, we certainly have fatigue on Hoshana Rabbah Erev Simchat Torah Shmini Atzeret. Like, nobody has any idea what's going on at that point. We literally are just running around in circles and banging things on the ground. It may not even be in shul. Right? There's no sense anymore of what's going on. But something very, very deep is happening. And we take the wheel of an etrog, and we take those arrows, and we encircle the bima 7 times, singing Hoshana. All of you in this room, there should be things that are jumping to your mind. What does that sound like? We go and encircle the bima 7 times. Chuppah, the wedding, right? There's very few times where we circle something 7 times. At a wedding, the kala encircles the chasen also, dafka, 7 times. That's the one more in history. Excellent. When we conquer Yericho, we encircle the walls of Yericho 7 times. So Rebbe hinted to this in his shiur. When he gave the shiur, he hinted to this, the fact that there must be a connection between them. And I mean, he pointed out that if we're all thinking people, we should clearly recognize that these things are parallel and that there must be a connection between them. But he didn't answer it in his shiur. And I spent a lot of time thinking about this. And a few years ago, I came to the following conclusion. I strongly suspect this to be the case. And this answers a lot of questions for us in terms of how we build back in Shmini Atzeret. We're going to take Shmini Atzeret back off the shelf. Alpini Star, based on our hidden tradition, there are three layers to reality, three dimensions to reality, two of which are recognized by science because we can actually interact with them, and one of which is beyond detection by science, and so science doesn't dignify it. The two primary dimensions of reality are time and space, and the one that's hidden from reality, from the ability to detect is, we've talked about these in many shiurim. Space is referred to as olam. Is referred to as olam. Time is referred to as shana. And the last layer of reality is? We've done the... Thank you. I wasn't going to point to you specifically. You've been here for a few times. We've done this. Nefesh. Olam, shana, and nefesh. Space, time, and soul. Seven is always the number that encompasses the totality of a thing. The world was created in 7 days. There are always seven fundamental building blocks to all of reality. And what I suspect is that this encircling seven times, and this comes out most clearly in the context of Yericho, is that encircling something seven times is breaking something down on all levels of its being. If we're talking about Yericho, and the fact that we literally encircle Yericho seven times and literally the walls come tumbling down and we're able to break through. On what layer of reality are we breaking through in a realm of in the time of Yeshua when we're walking around Yericho? Olam Shana or Nefesh? Assumably, Olam, a level of space. We're breaking into that space which is beyond, which is Eretz Yisrael, that Eretz HaChaim. Our entry point into Eretz Yisrael is going to be through Yericho. We break through those walls by encircling it seven times, and we break through reality in a realm of Olam, a realm of space. When a Kala circles the Chatan seven times under the Chuppah, which layer of reality is being broken through? Nefesh. To me, that seems Pashut. You have two people who didn't know they were two halves of one soul. And that moment under the chuppah is when the walls between their souls break down so they can join and become one. And I strongly suspect that that's a much, much deeper layer of meaning of what's happening in there under a beautiful, what's happening under the chuppah, in those seven circles that are drawing them together, that are binding them together as they break through those walls right before. They're about to hear the brachot and say, Ariyat Mikudesh, and bring themselves together in the chuppah. If I'm right, and this is all my idea, I don't know if this is true, but if I'm right, and that's what's happening at Yericho, and that's what's happening under a chuppah, we only have one left to go the other one. The seven times that we're going around the Biman on Hoshana Rabbah, we're breaking through what realm, what layer of reality? Shana, which is time. That on Hoshana Rabbah, we're breaking down the walls and the barriers of time. That we circle the bima those seven times at the end of the Sukkot process. Sukkot, as we've talked about at the beginning of this year, in essence is an embodiment of the end of days, the end of history. And we're knocking down those walls that cut us off from the end of history, from Olam HaMaba itself. And that's what allows us to go forth into the final stage of Sukkot, the final stage of the Moadim, but yet is a whole realm unto itself. It's both Shmini and Atzeret. It's a world unto itself, even though it's premised on. It requires the 7 days that came before. It requires Sukkot. It requires Hoshana Rabbah. But then this new reality emerges where time breaks down and we move into a reality of Olam Haba in this world. And that's why when we go to from Sukkot to Shmini Atzeret. Sukkot has so many mitzvot. Sukkah, lulav, etrog. There's so many things happening on Sukkot. All of that disappears. Because in Olam Haba, there's no more mitzvot. We don't need the sukkah. We don't need the lulav. We don't need the etrog. It all falls away. And what we do is then we take out a Sefer Torah. And we put a Sefer Torah in the middle of the circle. And all that's left is singing and dancing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's it. Singing and dancing with the Sefer Torah. And right before we take that Sefer Torah out, there's a pasuk that we cry out, which while we do say it once a week in Vayitin Lecha, for those of you Vayitin Lecha on Motzei Shabbat, which itself is an aspect of Olam Haba, Motzei Shabbat, after those 7 days. But the one time we say this pasuk out loud, as a kehilah, embracing this pasuk, is on Shmini Atzeret Simcha Torah night, right before we take out the Torah. Source number 13 on the back of your pages. V'amar b'yom ahu, on that day will say, Hine Elokeinu zeh, this is our God. Kivinu lo. Where do we remember that from? The end of the Mizmor of Tehillim, right? Kivinu lo v'yoshienu. And now he's given us Yeshua. Zeh Hashem kivinu lo. This is the Hashem that we were mekaveh, that we hoped for. And now finally, Nagila v'nismecha b'yeshuato. Are two words bound together in that powerful pasuk. Now we have joy in that Yeshua. And as though that pasuk weren't explicit enough, the concluding Gemara in the end of Masechet Ta'anit paints an even fuller picture for us using this pasuk as its base. Source number 14. Amar Ula Bira, Amar Rabbi Elazar. Atira Kadosh Baruch Hu La'asot Machul La'tzadikim. In the world to come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make a circle for the tzaddikim. V'hu yoshev b'neihem megan Eden. And God is going to be standing, He's going to be sitting in the center of that circle in Gan Eden at the end of days. V'kol echad ve'echad mar'eh be'etzba'o. And every single person in that circle, the Mefarshim point out that the reason why it's a circle is because in the circle, everybody is always equidistant from the center. And everyone, having achieved the greatest heights of Avodat Hashem that they could have, standing around in that circle, they're going to point to God in the center of that circle in Gan Eden. And the Mefarshim understand that the Shnei Emar here is not quoting a pasuk to prove this, but rather Shnei Emar, that they will say, the tzaddikim will say, when they're standing there in that circle in Olam Haba, they will say this pasuk, our pasuk. V'amar b'yom ahu hinei Elokeinu zeh, literally pointing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kivinu lo, we were hoping for Him, we looked for Him our whole lives. V'yoshienu, and now we're able to look at God face to face in Olam Haba. Zeh Hashem kivinu lo, this is the God we hope for. And now, Nagila v'nismecha b'yeshuato. Now we have true joy and true simcha in the Yeshua of looking at God face to face at the end of days. The reason why we normally give the shiur before Simcha Torah is because this is what Simcha Torah is. And it gets so lost in all of the running around and the singing and the dancing and the misappropriation of fun in place of simcha. It's not a day of fun, it's a place, it's a day of simcha, of this deep moment of true joy. In that moment on Simcha Torah, whether on the men's section where there is a Torah in there, or the women's section if there is or is not a Torah in the middle of the circle, whatever the case may be. But of dancing around in a circle and dropping everything else, no more mitzvot, nothing else to help us, there's nothing else to talk about. We've broken through to Olam Haba for one day. And we embody that and we make that circle around the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah, as we talked about in Midrashah in the past, which is the closest embodiment to godliness that we have in this world. So we take them out of the Arad and we put them in the center of that circle. Can I get a Kadosh Baruch Hu that's in the center of that circle in the end of days? And we sing and we dance and enjoy the Simcha of Yeshua. The Simcha of the culmination of the entire Mo'adin De'oraita process. Of the entire process from Tisha B'Av, Lo Alinu 2, Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Yemei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, and then Sukkot, and then Hoshana Rabbah, and then Shmini Atzeret Simcha Torah. Of now finally being able to look HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the face and enjoy HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the rest of eternity. A little bit in this world singing and dancing. At that time of the year, I often challenge everyone to try it. And I've experienced it myself. It's a life-changing experience. That it even take 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 30 seconds, a minute. Settle for 15 seconds. But a minute during the singing and the dancing on Simchat Torah night. To close your eyes and to really imagine that you're singing and dancing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the center of the circle, and in the reality of the end of days, and feeling the simcha of a panim b'panim relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a simchas Torah. That's the end of the yamim noraim, geared toward mazan nora, matzat the root of nora, lirot riya, to truly be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what they're setting out to accomplish. That's what's truly achieved, the Shmini Atzeret Simchat Torah. There's one more small piece here. There's one more small piece here, which is a lot. Sorry, it was a long shiur. We'll wrap up and say this. That's what's happening at the end of this paragraph, and that's what brings us back to Parshat Re'eh. That's the goal of Parshat Re'eh. Come back to that final paragraph now and see it. Re'eh, see it with new eyes. We're leading up to Mo'adim L'Simcha. We're leading up to Zman Simchatenu and a time of Yeshua. Hear it now in the Psukim. And hear how all of the themes that we talked about last time come together in this process as well. Perek Tetzayim, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Chag HaSukkot Ta'aseh Lecha Shivat Yamim. You shall make the festival of Sukkot for a 7-day period. When you gather in from your threshing floor and your wine cellar, meaning when you gather in all those things, when you gather everything in, you have Chag HaSukkot, and therefore, you shall rejoice on your Chag. Everyone comes in together in Simcha. Shivat Yamim Tachog LaHashem Elokecha. B'makom asher yivchar Hashem. Why? Ki yivarechecha Hashem Elokecha. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you tremendous bracha. Coming back to the beginning of Re'eh, Re'eh Anochi Noten Lechem Yom Archa Oklal, that the whole reality is a reality of bracha. And I recognize that everything that I have is meant to bring me closer to a place of simcha, to a joy in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That klala comes, you read before, from the Tochacha. Tachat asher lo avaratat Hashem Elokecha b'simcha b'tzuv v'av mirov kol, when you had so much, and it didn't bring you to be mesameach before Hashem. That's what knocks you off the course of history. And now you come to Sukkot and you're in a place, a reality of pure simcha. And therefore, shalosh pa'amim bashana yira'eh kol zechorecha p'nei Hashem Elokecha. All of those key words coming together. 3 times in the year, we're meant to walk up to Beit HaMikdash and to try and gaze at a reality of godliness in the world through Beit HaMikdash. To see Pinei Hashem Elokecha. Because the goal of the Mo'adim process is to achieve a reality of what? Of Yeshua, which is a reality of Panim B'Panim. So we go to Beit HaMikdash, which is produced by Parshat Re'eh, to get to the closest space in reality to see, as best we can, a reality of godliness in this world. To see Pnei Hashem Elokecha b'makom asher yivchar b'chag haMatzot u'b'chag haShavuot u'b'chag haSukkot v'lo yira'et Pnei Hashem reikam. And don't come and see the face of God empty-handed. You have to recognize that you've been in relationship this whole time. Through everything you've done in the context of the land, you're taking everything that you've achieved with you, and you're coming to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu face to face. Ish kimanat yadoki v'chag Hashem Elokecha shenatan lach. That all of that bracha of reality is because you're in a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because you're relating to Him through the physicality of this world. And therefore, 3 times we travel to see Pnei Hashem. That over the process, the course of this process of the Mo'adim, we're able to achieve a reality of a panim b'panim relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the goal. That's what we're trying to achieve. And that's what's produced by this presentation of the Parshat HaMoadim, of the Moadim Doraita, is a stage-by-stage process where we gain greater and greater levels of simcha through seeing greater and greater recognition from the planting to the sowing to the reaping, recognizing that all this bracha comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He gave it to me as a gift. And I go and I recognize that everything that I'm doing in this physical world is all in relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And I travel there to Beit HaMikdash, to HaMakom Asher Yivchar, to the manifestation of the place where God rests His Shechina in this world. I go to Beit HaMikdash to look at God face to face. 3 times a year, all geared toward the same destination. To internalize that panim-panim relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that brings back, which we'll finish off with, that brings back the Gemara that I quoted you last year as well, about the Kruvim. Chazal tell us that with the Kruvim, one of them embodied, represented Klal Yisrael, and one of them represented HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And one of the miracles of the Beit HaMikdash and of the Mishkan was that when Bnei Yisrael would do Ratzon Hashem, the Kruvim would gaze at each other. And when they wouldn't do Ratzon Hashem, they would gaze away from each other. But then comes the Gemara forth. Again, we quoted this lesson, we'll quote it inside now, and it says as follows. Masechet Yuma, Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. Amar of Katina. Hear the words. Bishaash Shehayu Yisrael Olim L'Regel. On the 3 times a year where Klal Yisrael would walk up to face HaKadosh Baruch Hu, would walk up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Olim L'Regel, they would walk up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Megalalin Lahem Et HaParochet. They would, what's the parochet? The partition. They would move back the partition that hid the Kruvim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Umar'in Lahem Et HaKruvim. And they would show all of Klal Yisrael the Kruvim. Why would they show them the Kruvim on the Shalosh Regalim? Because what is all the Regalim about? What is the Kruvim about? Are we in a reality of Panim Panim or are we not? And so they would pull over the, they would pull open the curtain, even though nobody was allowed to go in there except for the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. They would pull open the curtain to let Bnei Yisrael gaze at the Kruvim and see these two embodiments of this relationship gazing lovingly at each other. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that's not enough. And when they would pull back the curtain, they would see Shakruvim Shahayu Mi'urim Ze Baze. On the Shalosh Regalim, they weren't just gazing at each other. They were intertwined one into another. Only on the Shalosh Regalim. The Umrim Lahen, and they would tell Bnei Yisrael, Ru'u chibatchem lifnei ha-makom kechivat zachar v'nekeva. See how beloved you are before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the love that exists between the two of you is like the love and the connectivity between a husband and a wife. That comes out on the Shalosh Regalim, because the goal of the Shalosh Regalim is to achieve a reality of Samchinu b'Yishuatecha. Is to achieve a reality not just of Rosh Hashanah, not just of Yom Kippur, but of Sukkot, where it's not just that we're forgiven, but we're connected, we're reconnected to each other, and we're spending all of eternity gazing lovingly at each other, connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as intimately as possible in Olam Haba. That's the goal. And these were 3 times a year where we were trying to make sure that we retained that perspective. When you want somebody to see a perspective, what do you tell them? Our parsha, Re'eh. This parsha is about making sure that we maintain a proper perspective throughout all of history of what the goal is, of what we're trying to achieve, of what the ultimate destination is, of what reality itself is and how it helps us get there in a reality of bracha, that we have simcha in that bracha as it takes us to Yeshua, and to eventually end up in a place of what we're shown every single one of the Shalosh Regalim, of pure connectivity and closeness with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That, I think, is again, re-emphasizes things we talked about last time, but in a whole different way, and puts the Moadim into perspective of what this Parsha is setting out to accomplish, what it's trying to show us, and the perspective that it challenges us to make sure that we maintain for our entire lives. Hashem, we should be zocha, whether we're listening to this now, right before Pesach, to go into this process, sof ma'aseh b'machshavat chila, with the end in mind as we start off on Pesach, knowing that that's the ultimate goal. Whether we're listening to this now in the middle of Elul and on our way to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, that when we're actually at the Sof, that we should be able to go into that with the proper kavanot, and through living what the Mo'adim D'Oraita are all about, experience that closer to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, both in this world on Simchat Torah, and ultimately at the end of days, with the building of the third Beit HaMikdash Mirab Yaminu.